Now, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5 today, and Francois Vislou is going to teach us. We are excited when Francois comes. I'm going to pray, and he's going to open the word in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. We're going to move into some other things and do 2 Thessalonians after Christmas. So over the next few weeks heading to Thanksgiving, we're going to do some things. And then, of course, heading to Christmas, we're going to do some other things. So obviously, and then, so this will be our last sermon in Thessalonians for a little while. And we're going to try to finish the book of 1 Thessalonians. So let's all pray. And then it's all yours, Francois. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all you're doing in our lives. May we just hear your word, understand your word, and then apply it to our life and practice it. Thank you for Francois, and I pray you'd bless him today as he opens your word to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Good morning, saints. It is so special to be with you on this day. We've been journeying through 1 Thessalonians. And let me just sketch a little bit of the background again, because the backdrop helps us to understand chapter 5 better. Paul and Timothy and Silas were traveling through Thessalonica. And there they were teaching in the synagogue, and many people came to know the Lord. But there was huge opposition. They had to sneak him out of the town because of it. And there is a very young church, but a vibrant church, a passionate church. Immediately, persecution, suffering started. And then Paul couldn't go back, so he sent Timothy back, and Timothy came back with a report, and then Paul wrote to him a letter to follow up. And he says, "You are our joy." And may I just echo his words every time when we are here, when we see you, those same words come to my mind and to Pastor Bill's mind and the other pastors as well. You are our joy. To see you journey with God is just a bigger gift than anybody else can give you. And I would like us to look at chapter 5, the last chapter. In chapter 5, he summarizes the whole book again. But it's such a practical chapter. So the service this morning is going to be a little bit different. So just before you park yourself and switch off, we are going to wake you up every 5 minutes because we are going to apply it to our lives. We're going to share a portion, application, share it and apply it. And for us to get a better handle on chapter 5, I want to suggest that we divide it up into 5 different themes. The whole chapter goes around what Pastor Bill closed off with last week. Let's encourage one another. This chapter is about encouragement. The whole book is about encouragement. The whole theme for the church is about encouraging them. So my prayer is that you will leave encouraged today. The first thing that he talks to them about is about the Lord's return. And 3 times in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the theme of the Lord's return is very prominent. And then he says to them, because of the Lord's return, you need leaders to help you on your journey. And then he talks to us as a community. He says, we need to build community, one of the vision statements of our church. You cannot do it by yourself. You need others with you on this journey. The 4th one is you have a personal responsibility as well. We're going to look what that looks like as well. And then the last one, and Paul comes and he puts the cherry on the cake. And he says, you know what? God has made amazing promises to help you to make sure all of this is going to come to pass. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He starts off by saying, now concerning the times and the seasons. In other words, Timothy came back to him and said, the Thessalonian church already had one question and said, we thought Jesus was going to come back, and now our people are dying. What's going to happen to them? And he said to him, it's not a problem. Those that have died will rise first. And then the second question that he posed to them was, but when is he going to come back? It seems like we missed it. Because he addresses again in 2 Thessalonians the time and the season. And it's as if Paul is saying, because he says, you have no need to have anything written to you. Why does he say that? It's almost as if he's saying, you know what? You're asking the wrong question. When you ask about the time and the season, you're asking the wrong question. Why? And I just thought by myself, if I knew the exact time that Jesus is either going to come and fetch me or the time that he's going to come, the day of the Lord, to fetch his bride, how will I live? How will you live if you know it is in 6 months or 6 years or 60 years? If you are as me as a professional sinner, then you will do your own thing. You make sure just before it happens, I'm ready. The second thing, that will be so bad, I will be no testimony for him. We've just sang his amazing, glorious songs about he is worthy. People won't see it because I'm doing my own thing. And then the third one is, I will not be ready. You don't get ready. It's not a vacation that you are going on. The day that you met Jesus, that very day you entered from darkness into light. You are part of his kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. It's difficult times like this that we get sucked into the kingdom of this world. And I want to plead with you today, like Paul was writing to the church. He says, rise above where you are. They were being persecuted. They were going hungry. They were struggling. And he says, let's rise above this because our kingdom is not of this world. Our king's name is Jesus. For you, verse 2, and please listen carefully. I will accentuate it to you as we are reading up to verse 11. He talks about two distinct different groups of people. He says, for you, that is the Thessalonians, the believers, yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people, in other words, those are the other ones, there is peace and security. They are saying there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers. Sisters, please also feel welcome. For that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. That is the crux of chapter 5. That is the crux of the whole letter to the Thessalonians, that we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. The same words that he closed the previous chapter off, he starts again. He wants us to encourage one another. In this first passage, he talks about two distinct different groups of people. Those that are in the light, walking in the light, that are in the day, that are not of the darkness. And then he talks about the other group of people. Those that think they have peace and security. He was referring to the Roman Empire, Pax et Securitas, Pax Romana. The Roman Empire will give me all that I need. And we know that is a lie. And what does he say to them? They will have sudden destruction. They will not escape. They sleep around. They are drunk. They are destined for wrath. Stark contrast to the children of the light and those that have a false security. And I want to pause here today again. Every week we do the same, but this passage paints such a stark contrast between the two. We have three kinds of people here today. Those who are God's children, that are passionately following Him, children of the light. Then we have those in the middle. You have made a decision sometime in your life to follow Jesus, but you are unsure. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you are questioning. If I ask you tonight, will you meet Jesus if this storm hits your house or COVID? And you say, you know, I'm not sure. I want to ask you today to leave assured. If you are watching, I want you to have that assurance today because you can, not because I say so, because God said so. And then those that are in darkness, that live under this pac et securitas, this peace and security that we think will come from somewhere else. It doesn't exist, saints. There's only one that provides us that security. And His name is Jesus, and He's coming soon. And I want to lead you in a prayer. You said, I've never made that decision. Can I correct you? And said, you have already made the decision. You have made the decision not to walk in the light. You've made the decision to be part of the wrath that is coming. You've made the decision to be lured away by false security. And I want to ask you, will you not consider changing that decision today, please? To follow Jesus. To move from darkness into light. And if you are the middle one, you are not sure, am I really saved? I want to ask you also to pray this prayer with me. So let's all close our eyes and let's just say this prayer in your heart after me. I'm going to say a sentence, pause to give you time to repeat it. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have a plan and that you are my security. Forgive me that I've messed up. Forgive me all my sin, please. Forgive me that I followed false gods. I turn around today. And I accept you. I believe in you. And thank you for your promise that you said if we do that, we are called your children. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer or you've not been 100% sure about your salvation, please come afterwards and talk to us. Because the first thing we want to do is we want to give thanks with you to God. But the second one is we want you to get plugged into a group. You cannot do this journey by yourself. That is what Paul is writing to this church about, and we will see more of that in a moment. We need one another on this journey. Also so that we can pray for you. That you will remain standing on this journey. But then Paul is writing to the church and he says to them, I would like you to do three things in the light of the day of the Lord, in the light of living with Him. We read it in verse 6. Do not sleep. In other words, can I use a local expression? Do not sleep around. That is the way this sleep is being used here. It doesn't mean to sleep. It means to sin. The first thing he asks us, do not sleep. In other words, be pure, be morally pure. The second one he says in verse 6, keep awake. And I love the examples of the 10 virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom and 5 of them's oil ran out. And the other 5, and then they said, please give us some of your oil. And they said, no, sorry, we can't help you. Be ready. Be ready, saints. You do not know. It is not about knowing the hour. It's about being ready. It's about walking with Him. It's about living with Him. And then he says, be sober. What does it mean to be sober? It means not to be intoxicated by the influence of sin. To be sober means not to be intoxicated by the influence of sin. And there are many, the lists are long. If you don't know what you are intoxicated about, please come and talk to me afterwards. I can inform you. Greed, lust, whatever they are. Be sober. And then he helps us with two ways to be sober. He says, put on the breastplate. And that breastplate is the breastplate of faith and of love. What is the use of a breastplate? A breastplate is there so that if somebody would cut you with a sword, it will not go through. Or if they shoot you with an arrow, you have a shield, but also your breastplate that provides defense for you from all the attacks of the enemy. How do I put on the breastplate of faith? Faith, in very, very simple terms, is to stretch out and to take the hand of God. That is faith. His hand is right here. I remember, and I've told you this in the past, when my children were small and I would walk in a shopping center or something like that, we will all be walking, and then suddenly I will just feel my son has put his hand in my hand. I heard such a beautiful story on Friday. One of our friends living in Oregon, he has a small 3-year-old daughter. And last week with Halloween, they were walking somewhere, and she saw these skeletons and things, and she said to her daddy, "Papa, I'm so afraid of Halloween and all this stuff that we are seeing." And he picked her up and he held her tight. And he said to her, "Jesus will protect us. He is with us." And she smiled and he put her down and they walk again. And when they got into the car, she looked at him and she said, "Daddy, are you Jesus?" Just the reality of his presence. That is faith. He could pick her up and hold her tight. That is the breastplate of faith. And then the breastplate of love. To love God with all our hearts. But can I ask you, the breastplate is also to guard our hearts. Because our hearts lust after the flesh, lust after the world. And Satan comes and he tempts us with many different things. So the breastplate has a dual purpose. To keep our hearts intact, but also to defend us from the outside. And then he says, put on the helm of the hope of your salvation. If I say to you, "I hope to see you this afternoon," and once I have seen you, do I still hope? No, my hope has been fulfilled. I saw you. Now he says to us, that hope of the salvation, that is what should keep you going, Thessalonian church. That hope of, "I'm coming." Protect your mind, the way you look at this world, the way you think about this world. Don't get caught up, sucked up in this world. Think differently. Can I lead you in a prayer, please? And may I ask you just to put your hands over your chest like this, just as a symbol of God saying to him, "I want to put on the breastplate of faith and of love. Lord, you ask us to be sober. You ask us also to be awake. And you also ask us not to sleep. And therefore we put on this breastplate of faith and of love so that we will not be tempted, lured away." Can I ask you to put your one hand or both hands on your head without upsetting your hairdo, please? And then just say, "Lord Jesus, I pray that you will help me to live with that hope in my mind, on my head, milling around, that I will orchestrate my life according to your coming, living with you day by day. Lord, I pray that that hope will be like a burning fire, that it will not leave my mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen." And then he says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." So let's continue to encourage one another with the Lord's coming, living with him. And now he says, and build one another up. And that is the second point for this morning. How do we build one another up? In the light of us living with him, in verse 10 he says, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, sleep doesn't mean sleep. In the previous chapter, he also referred to those who have died as asleep, we might live with him. So the whole focus of 1 Thessalonians 5 is that we may live with him, that we may walk with him, that we may journey with him. And for that, we need three things. The first one, we need leaders. Let's just read that. Verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. What is the background to this? The church in Thessalonians appointed elders to look after them. But they said, Paul is our leader. Timothy is our leader. Silas is our leader. And Paul said to him, no, you don't understand it. You have leaders, and God has appointed them. He says, over you in the Lord. So the leaders we have, God has given us. They didn't run onto the stage and say, hey, I'm your leader today. No, God has given us these godly leaders. And I just want us to pause for a moment and just express our respect and our esteem for the leaders God has given us. Just hold a little bit on your fire before you put your hands together. But Bill and Elizabeth, would you be so kind just to stand, please? I don't want to embarrass you. I just want, as a church, to say a huge thank you to you. We respect you. We esteem you very, very highly for leading us during this difficult year, through this whole COVID season that we are in. Just want to say a big, big thank you. Would you mind just standing and just remain standing for a moment, because others are going to stand. Let's just say a big thank you to them. I've asked Clay if he would mind appearing from backstage as well. But Clay and Sherry and Mark and Karen, if you are here, Jody and Ruth, you may not be here. Cameron and Sarah's not here. Wendy and Kent leading us with the school. Oh, I cannot imagine your job keeping everybody on board. But would you all just mind standing, please? And then the elders and their wives, would you also stand, please? We as a church just want to say we esteem you. Thank you for coming out of hiding. Let me just lead us in a prayer for all of them. God, you've said here that we must respect them and we must esteem them very highly in love. Thank you for our leaders. Thank you for the blessing that they are. Thank you for giving them the wisdom to lead us during this difficult time. Bless them, please, Lord. Grant them your peace. And you said that they should admonish us as well to make sure we live with you. We are continuing to journey with you, even when the road is tough. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then the last part of verse 13, it says, be at peace among yourselves. Why did he say that? Be at peace among yourselves. In other words, don't let there be any competition in your midst. So often, when I was still part of a mission organization, and I will use that as an example. You know, the name of the organization is OM. You know, OM has done this to me, and OM has done this to me, and OM has done this to me. And then I will ask them, if I burn OM down, will you feel better? It's the same. The people will say, the church has done this, and the church has done this, and the church has done this to me. And then I'll ask them, if I burn the church down, will you feel better? No, you can't do that. You know, the church doesn't do anybody any harm. It's a building. Well, we call it a building. It's wrong, because we are the church. I want to ask you today, on behalf of all the leaders, to forgive us, please. For those that we have offended, for those that we have hurt, for those that we have misunderstood, I so desire what Paul is writing here, that there will be peace among yourselves. Will you forgive us, please? None of these leaders wake up in the morning thinking, how can I make my congregation miserable today? None of them wake up today, this morning, and think, how can I give them the hardest time of their lives? No, they are praying, they are loving, they are caring about you. And there's always misunderstanding. There's misunderstanding between my wife and I, between me and my children. It's just part of life. It's also the enemy that wants to drive in a wedge between us. Let us not fall for his tricks. Can I invite you afterwards? Come and talk to me. If we have hurt or offended you, I want to apologize to you personally. Let's be at peace with among ourselves. And then he goes to the third one, to the community. In other words, how are we to build up amongst ourselves? Verse 14 and 15. And then Paul uses a strong word. He says, and we urge you, brothers, sisters, he says, admonish the idle. Who are the idols? We are not talking about the idols. We are talking about idle people. Who are idle people? Idle people are people that have pushed the pause button in their relationship with God. So they are not firing on all their cylinders. Somehow they got distracted. Somehow they got upset. Somehow they got lured into other things. And he's asking us as a body, as a family, admonish the idle. In other words, help them to unpause their lives so that they can live with him, so that they can follow Jesus again. The second one, he says, encourage the faint-hearted. I love the way that the Greek word for faint-hearted explains it. Faint-hearted means a little soul, the person with a little soul. What does he mean by that? He says it's those that perhaps lack depth in their understanding of God, depth in their understanding of God's word, depth in their understanding of what God came to do for us through his son Jesus. He says, let's encourage them. Let's enlarge their capacity. And then help the weak. It's like somebody is struggling to get up the steps. Let's go and help them. Let's help the weak. And then, and I think many of us need to repent, be patient with them all. So often we say, yeah, I've told them they mustn't do this. So, he says, encourage them, walk with them. It's not about telling them. And then verse 15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. What I would like you to do now is just close your eyes for a moment, please. I'm going to read through this list again. And what I want to ask you to do today is identify a person that fit maybe one of these categories. And then how are you going to reach out to them? And maybe you have a large capacity. You can do 2 or 3 or 5 people. But just think of someone that you can help to unpause, in other words, to admonish the idle. Someone that you can help to find new depth in their understanding of the Lord. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Is there somebody that lacks strength that you can come alongside? And maybe you need to go and repent of your impatience like I need to do. And then do not repay anyone evil for evil. This church was suffering so much. They've been persecuted. And it's so easy then to build up resentment and anger and bitterness towards those that are doing it to you. Please go and buy them ice cream or buy them some chocolates. Do something completely opposite that you want to do, that you even thought of doing. And do good, please. Do good. Lord Jesus, help us to build our community by doing good, please. And Lord, I pray that we will not postpone and say, I'll think about it tomorrow or the next day. But will you please move us into action the moment we leave here to go and encourage, to build up, to not repay evil with evil, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The fourth one, the second last one, we need to take personal responsibility in our living with him. He says in verse 16, rejoice always. In other words, rejoice always means, God, I cannot express in words my gratitude for your grace, for your favor upon our lives. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing doesn't mean 24/7 you are yapping. Praying without ceasing is so beautifully illustrated in the word that is being used here in the Greek language. The word here is your wishes. And what he's asking us, align your wishes with God's will. So when you are praying unceasingly, he says, every step that you are taking, make it a step of prayer, aligning your wish, what you are thinking, with God's will. Isn't that beautiful? Pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Listen carefully, it's not for all circumstances. It is in all circumstances. In other words, in the midst of this season that we are in, of political turmoil, the viral turmoil, climate turmoil, earthquakes, give thanks in these circumstances. What do we do when we give thanks to him? We say, God, you are on the throne, as Pastor Bill said this morning. We say to him, we love you and we are going to continue to follow you through all of this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And then verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit as the one that is walking with us. How do we quench the Spirit? The picture in my own mind is, and I've seen it at some of your football games, when they win something, they take a bucket of cold water and they dump it over the coach. That's the picture. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't dump your nonsense on him. Don't dump what you don't want to do on him. Don't quench the Spirit. He is leading you to live with Christ. That is the emphasis of this, to walk, to stay close to Jesus. Please remember, this letter was written before any of the Gospels was even written. This letter also do not contain any Old Testament passage in it. It's one of the first letters that was written in the New Testament. And that is why Paul writes, he says, do not despise the prophecies, but test everything. In our terms, go back to God's word. Whatever you hear, even this morning, go back to God's word and says, God, does it align with you? And then he says, hold fast what is good. And then verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. And I want to ask you the same question. Will you just close your eyes for a moment? I'm just going to read this again. And just grab hold of one of them. And maybe if you have a larger capacity, two or three of them. And just say, Lord, this is my responsibility. I want to walk with you. I want to live with you. But I need to pay attention to this. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the prophecies. But test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from all form of evil. Lord, we want to take our personal responsibility to do what you are asking us to do, so that we as a body can live with you, so that we are every day ready for your return. Help us, please, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then we come to the last one, and here Paul puts the cherry on the cake, and it's for me so precious. He says, now, finally, verse 23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you. What does sanctify you means? He says, make you more unlike sin. And the world and whatever, and more like him. Can I say that again? Sanctify is making you more unlike sin and more like him. Unlike the world, unlike the systems of this world, and more like him. May he sanctify you. How? Completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken a full circle. He started with the day of the Lord, and he's finishing again with the day of the Lord. And then he says these three final things. He says, he who calls you, in other words, God has called you. Isn't that amazing? Each one of you sitting here, each one of you that's walking in the light, you've been called. He says, God is faithful. God is not going to drop you. And then the third one is, he will surely do it. Isn't that amazing? He will surely do it. Why? Because we've been created for his pleasure. We've been created to journey with him. And then he closes with verse 25, 26, and 27, just with three words. He says, pray for us. He says, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. Can I add a word there? With a holy COVID kiss. In other words, just keep a little bit of a distance. And greet all the brothers. I cannot tell you how important it is for us as children of the light, as followers of Jesus, to greet one another. I very often, most of the time, stand in the foyer and watch the people go home. Most people go out there with eye flaps. They don't look to the left or to the right. Can I encourage you to greet the saints, please? So when you don't greet, we don't have to call you afterwards to ask you if something is wrong. And then he's asking us to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. Can I ask you, when you go home today, make some time to reread 1 Thessalonians. It just takes a few minutes. It's a few pages. You will be amazed to see how this theme of faith and love and hope is being repeated. How this theme of getting ready for our Lord, but living with him every day, is so critical. And can I ask you all to stand as we all close together with verse 28. It's a prayer that Paul is saying there. And it's there on the screen, or it should arrive soon. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Will you say it with me? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Can I ask you to stretch out your hands now? Only you in the front row don't have somebody blessing you, and I will bless you. But we are going to bless each other with this prayer. Let's say it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. God bless you, saints.